February 14, 2017, City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I reviewed the minutes for our January 10, 2007.
I just brought an updated agenda for the date.
Okay. Is the date the only thing that changed?
Just the yeah.
At the outset, I reviewed the minutes of our January 10th meeting and approved them. Those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings, please step forward and be sworn.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Do you have any announcements before we proceed with this morning's agenda?
I don't believe so, sir.
And we'll go directly to our first case. Joseph Janseski. Joseph Janseski. Anyone here for the respondent?
I did leave a voicemail message for Mr. Janseski about the change of date, and I got no information if he showed up yesterday by accident or not. So it's just for a progress report.
All right. Then let's say the city.
Good morning, Mr. LaKelja. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. This property is before you for a progress report and determination for a compliance date. The inspectors, John Stinson and Mr. Stinson, reports that to date that there's nothing that's been done. I'll let him speak to those facts further, but that there's nothing that's been done. He's asking for compliance. He says the property remains in compliance, and just a moment, let me.
Yes.
No. Okay.
So you have some communication with
okay. The inspector is asking that we set a compliance date for the May compliance deadline. And as I said, the inspector is John Stinson. I tend to Mr. Stinson if you have any factual questions.
I do.
Morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. Qualifications are on file.
Okay, I take it this is going to be a pretty big project from the outset.
Yes, sir. The besides the issues that are on the outside, the entire inside is but a shell and studs. So, yes, he has a lot of work to be done.
Inside and
out? Yes.
Okay. And so how do we gauge the progress completed today? How's it done?
As of today, the property is secured. The permits and the plans have been submitted. However, no work has begun. Nothing's been done other than the property being secured.
Okay. Permits have been applied for. They've been issued?
No, sir. But the requirement was that he had to get plans into the building department, which he did. He provided me with a copy and them as well. All he has to do is come in and actually pay for the permit, and they'll issue it to him because it's been approved. So gets the permit in hand and gets the work done, but no contact since the last time I actually spoke with him when he dropped the permits off. And that was on 12/13 of last year.
So spoken to him in 2 months?
That's correct.
How's he going to know that he's got 90 days to come into compliance? I don't want 3 months to pass and then have him say he didn't know that he had a compliance date to comply.
No. When he did drop off the permits, we did advise him that his cutoff date was going to be in May, the day for compliance.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Based on our inspector's report, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by May 4, 2016. or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
2017?
2007. Let's do that. Is my May 4 date correct?
May 3rd. Do you have an old calendar in there?
Okay, why don't you get me into the 20th century?
All right.
Where did I come up with that? Thank you.
You're welcome.
I apologize.
No, that's fine.
All right. I will order the response by May 3, 2017. Order to return to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000. Very good. Case number 2 is in compliance. Case number 3, Kimberly E. Telfair. Anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Good morning. Please state your names.
Kimberly E. Telfair.
Can you raise your right hands, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of the fine, so let's hear from the city.
Yes, Mr. Vicalja, this is here for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property remains in non-compliance. They had a situation with a tenant that needed to be evicted. They had the writ of possession issued on February 6th. The tenant, the information update from the inspectors that the tenants have vacated. They had two tenants, I believe it was, but the tenants have vacated, but there's still no work or progress that's been made. We're giving them till the April cutoff, or that's our request, that you give them till the April cutoff to come into compliance. And I tend to Mr. Stinson for any further factual questions.
Well, I guess the summary I'm hearing is tenant problem, no work done, April should do it. Okay, Ms. Telfair, what do you have to say? Does that sound like a plan?
Yes, that sounds right.
Like a plan. Yeah, we're getting things done. Yes,
because we got one more tenant. We got one more. We're not coming to get the rest of this stuff out, so we have to go down and pay $90 for the 24-hour notice before we can throw this stuff out.
All right. Then based on the city's presentation and the respondent's agreement or stipulation, then I will amend our current order of non-compliance to allow the respondent until April 5, 2017 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you. Case number 4, John Clark.
Good morning.
Can you please state your name?
I'm sorry?
Can you state your name, please,
John
for the record?
Clark, yeah.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city first.
Mr. Clark, you're good here. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Get over there. There we go. this opportunity to get here at the mic. Mr. Vick, you're fine. You can keep that there. Mr. Vickelter, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Michael Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald requests that he's had some communication with the respondent. He's asking that the respondent be given until the April cutoff to come into compliance. And I would tender Mr. Fitzgerald, so he can give you any factual update as well.
Good morning. My name is Mike Fitzgerald. I'm with the City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file with the city. I spoke with Mr. Clark. About 3 days ago, 4 days ago, when you, I guess you reached out to me and left a message. Okay, yeah.
I didn't
get a call back. Well, I called and left him. Okay. And he said he was going to do everything he needed to do to get this thing corrected.
All right, well, let's educate me. Roof leaking, exterior damaged stairs, missing railings, bathroom sink, standing water, missing screens, interior surfaces damaged. Residential rental license, failure to obtain business tax receipts. How many of those things have been taken care of that we know of?
None that I know of.
Okay. Do you know of any reason why none of them have been taken care of today?
Mr. Clark had said that he had heart attack and that was unable to do or have any information about what was needed to be done.
All right. Good enough. Let's hear from Mr. Clark.
Everything's been done?
Yes, sir. I have pictures showing that everything's been done.
Hang on to your pictures. I'll take your word for it. So, are you telling me you think you're ready for a final inspection?
I paid my business or the rental license tax last week and asked for an inspection. So I'm waiting for the inspection. But
so as far as you're concerned, you think you're good to go?
Well, we never know until they get there, but everything that was on the list has been done.
I understand that. Well, then that having been said, I'll amend our current order of noncompliance to allow Mr. Clark until the next cutoff, which is March 8, 2017, to come into.
I don't believe we're having a March meeting.
That's correct. When I said March, I meant the April cutoff. If I said March, we don't intend to have a March meeting.
Okay. I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow to respond until April 5, 2017 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And based on what you're telling me, it sounds as though you just need your final inspection, whatever mop-up may be called for, and then it'll be done.
Yes, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Clark, could you wait for 1 minute?
Case number 5, Ingersoll Financial, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent?
Sure.
This matter is here for the imposition of a fine. Let's say the city.
Ms. Fekelja, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Michael Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald give you the factual update and express his request for what he's desiring for a fine.
Is this a home?
This is a home on the water at 231 Lexington Drive.
Where's Lexington Drive?
It's where Main Street is.
Okay.
As you go north.
So behind Blue Road?
Behind Blue Road, yes, to the east.
Gotcha.
So you see the cracks on the walls. The neighboring houses are all in very nice condition, and the neighbors are not happy with the people who purchased this.
Is this the house that actually has two streets, one on both sides of it?
No. This one's on. This is like a U on the right side as you go in on Lexington.
Okay.
But the house is in disrepair. They haven't even really taken care of mowing the grass.
Mm-hmm.
The sides are all, you know, coming through with the paints peeling.
Everything I'm looking at is one home?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Looks like a small apartment complex to me, but whatever. All right, so in any event, you've been after him since September 22, 2016 to take care of all these things. What work's been done today?
Nothing. They did mow the grass the last time. The city mowed it prior twice.
Okay, so you've gotten little or no response from them.
I spoke with their attorney, who he said that they needed to step up and take care of it, but nothing's been done.
Okay. Let's say the city. What does the city want?
$500 a day to a maximum of $15,000.
Right, if they were to get on it right now, how long would it take for them to take care of this stuff?
April cutoff.
April cutoff.
Actually, how long would it take?
Pardon me?
They can do it in
30 days. They can do it in 30 days, but yeah, it's.
They can do it in 30 days. Okay. Do I need to worry about this April? Okay, my inclination is to give them 30 days to get it done, failing that, $500 per day thereafter. Is there anything about that April cutoff that precludes me from doing that?
No, sir.
Okay. 30 days they ought to be able to get it all done?
Yes, sir.
If they were to get on it?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's today's date? February 15th. That's 30 days from today.
March 15th.
March 17th. 15th. 28 days in February. Oh. It's the 15th. We got 13 days left. 13 from 30 leaves 17. Okay.
The 17th is a Friday.
17th is a Friday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by March 17. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $500 per day will go into effect and continue each day thereafter. And continue to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine has reached itself $15,000. Does that cover it?
Yes, sir.
Case number 6, Libby Investment Group, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Vakelja, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Cliff Reckonzone. This property, you may recall, respondent who, or the, well, we concluded witness who came was the one who was residing in the home, filing a quiet title action with an anticipation that he would be able to.
Just a squatter?
Yes. So that's the only appearance we've had. In the past, status of the property is that it remains in non-compliance.
It is
Ms. Hampton informs that it is in foreclosure. The only thing we can do, we've provided the notices pursuant to statute, and so. Our request would be to impose a fine in the amount of $150 per day.
Has anybody done anything yet?
Mr. Reckonzone is the inspector, but he's shaking his head. No, nothing's been done.
So no one's even maintaining the exterior?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Vakelja. My name is Cliff Reckonzone. And my credentials are on file. Nobody's taking care of the exterior. The city actually is maintaining the property.
What's the maximum fine on this property? 10 or 15?
15.
It's not
owner-occupied, so it's 15.
And you've got no response at all?
No, sir.
All right, I'm fining the respondent the sum of $150 per day commencing February 9, 2017, and that will continue to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. Case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8, James and Jacqueline Faye Davis. You are here for the respondent.
Good morning.
What?
Can you state your name for the record, please?
James Davis.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Davis, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, what's going to take to come into compliance, and how much time would be reasonable for the respondent to do so?
Inspector report said all they need to do is whatever they need to do, it only will take till next cutoff. Now, his note says that the pool has been drained and the fence has been repaired. The inspector is John Stinson, and if you have any further factual questions, I would tend to Mr. Stinson.
So what's left to be done?
Good morning, John Stinson, code inspector with the city. Clock case is on file. The only thing that's left that needs to be done is the actual rental inspection. It just needs to be scheduled and performed. All the paperwork is done. We're just waiting for it to get scheduled.
Okay. Mr. Davis, do you understand that?
Yes.
Cool. All right. So how much time do we need to get this done?
Next cutoff.
You mean April 5th?
Yes, sir.
Well, we have some bizarre circumstances here to cause your cutoff to go instead of March all the way to April, so good for you. All right. Anyway, I'll allow the respondent until April 5, 2017 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay. Please take care of it sooner rather than later so nothing falls between the cracks. Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 9, Precious Property Management, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Precious Property Management. This is our parking lot, not Hammond Avenue. Where something used to be. Red Lobster. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Mr. Vakelja, this is before you for a determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector reports that the property is now in compliance, and he's asking for a finding of compliance, non-compliance.
How is it now in compliance? Is it not a fence?
The inspector is Tom Klieg, and I have to attend to Mr. Klieg to give you that update.
Yes, how is it now in compliance?
Officer Klieg, my credentials are on file. It's in compliance as of today. As of 2-6 of 17. I talked to the owner. There is a running fine on it. He's still telling me that he's still trying to put a dialysis center on it. But he left the fence down since before the hurricane. There was trash and debris on it. And it's cleaned up like there right now, and the fence is up. But due to the circumstances of prior history of him not, keeping the fence in compliance along with the trash, just want to put it in a repeat violation status.
Okay. Well, I find that the respondent was in compliance or was in non-compliance.
Yeah, right.
And further find that the respondent has since come into compliance. That having been said, I will further order that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Case number 10, GEA Seaside Investment Incorporated.
Good morning.
Can you say your name, please?
Absolutely. George Chandler, on behalf of the respondent.
Chandler?
Yes, ma'am. Like from Friends.
You an attorney?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Are you planning to be testifying?
No. We just... what happens is we are requesting a continuance till the May.
Hang on a second.
Absolutely.
Will this gentleman be testifying?
No.
No.
Okay. All right.
Piece of
paper
on that.
Attorney
as
well?
Yes.
Very good. And your name?
Aaron Moore.
So, Mr. Chandler and Ms. Moore. And your name, sir?
Morse,
Your Honor.
Like the code. Oh, Morse.
Sorry.
Okay.
And your name?
Jack Averman.
Okay. All right. One second.
Absolutely. Please state when you're ready.
To obtain residential rental license. That doesn't sound like much of a violation in any event. Okay.
We were retained recently. It says here first notified in November. First notice I have is from February, and we just simply request continuance till May to go ahead and just be able to do our due diligence.
Okay. Well, while we're all here, let's learn the lay of the land. Mr. City Attorney, Mr. Inspector, what are we dealing with here?
excuse me, Mr. Vakelja. This is a property where there is a tenant and requires a rental inspection, or at least requires a rental license. And this respondent, GA, does not have a rental license. So the violations are that there's a damaged roof, broken windows, failure to obtain required residential rental license. The inspector is Tom Cleek. Mr. Cleek reports that there's a citizen complaint. I'll tend to Mr. Cleek. I believe it's something from resulting from a storm and neighboring property, but there's a citizen that would like to be heard on this matter that's here this morning, and Mr. Cleek can give you the further factual information about the status of where we are in the case.
Looks simple on paper. Okay. All right. Well, bear with us. We're going to hear from everybody. All right, Mr. Clegg, what's going on?
Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file. Just to reflect that GEA Seaside Investment signed the certified letter December 3rd. They were notified. And it is a citizen complaint.
And I apologize. What does that signature say?
I don't know whoever signed for it from the U.S. Post Office or for GEA Seaside, whoever that.
That's not his signature. I don't know who signed
it. It could have been the secretary. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe.
They didn't get the print.
Yeah.
I just do with the post office.
No, that's fine enough. Not you.
Right. Anyways, it's a citizen complaint. She wanted to be heard on record about her testimony in this case.
Bring her up. You folks can sit down and relax.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay.
No problem.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Kristen Spann.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I have some papers I'd like to bring to the...
I'll need them after that.
Your Honor, my name is Kristen Spann, and I own a home located at 1455 North Grandview Avenue here in Daytona Beach. I'm a year-round resident, a property owner, a taxpayer, employed full-time, and I am beseeching this court to protect my interests in the matter before you today. My home at 1455 North Grandview adjoins property owned by Daytona Property Management at 358 Nautilus. In November 2014, Daytona Property Management was cited for multiple code violations on 358 Nautilus, including serious roof issues. The tenant who resided there at the time, Mia Morgan, and whom I was somewhat acquainted with, was forced to move out because of those issues. Shortly thereafter, I personally witnessed repair work being done on that roof. It was not until later that I found out that Daytona Property Management had not pulled a permit or hired a licensed contractor to do that work. During Hurricane Matthew, the roof of this property blew off, landing in my backyard, damaging my fences, trees, and a shed. Fortunately, the tenants living in the home at the time evacuated after asking my intentions. I encouraged them to leave as I was aware by that time of the code violations. It is frightening to contemplate the fate of that couple had they stayed at 358 Nautilus. 5 weeks after the hurricane, I personally had to cut up and remove his debris from my property. I also contacted the Daytona Beach Code Enforcement and filed a formal complaint against Aberman and his company. I have contacted code enforcement multiple times in the past several months to report work being conducted on the property, again, with no permit pulled or licensed contractors employed to do the work. I also contacted the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, who informed Mr. Aberman that he was required to hire a licensed contractor. I work for the Florida Department of Children and Families, and on December 26th, I received an email at work from Mr. Timothy Ring, the DCF Northeast Region Client Relations Coordinator, informing me that the Inspector General...
I apologize. Are rules of evidence in effect, or...
Have a seat for a second.
Yes, sir.
Informing me that the Inspector General had received a complaint about me from Mr. Aberman. I was asked to provide a response and was provided with a copy of his complaint, which is before you, sir. The complaint alleged that I used my state power to enforce fine on me through other agencies. That's verbatim. And this is also verbatim. This is how sick Span really is. In an emergency, she was attacking me. See the photos, plus I have a live audio and video. I want this predator stopped. I have estimated she has chased out tenants in excess of $100,000 lost revenue. I will be suing for as well as supplying witnesses. Those are his words, sir, not mine. He also printed out a fake Facebook page and attempted to make it appear as if I was slandering him. The complaint was investigated by the Inspector General's offices and was completely and totally dismissed. Jack Aberman bullies, frightens, and intimidates city officials and private citizens like myself. His tenants are largely low-income individuals with limited access to legal resources and little knowledge of their rights. If Mr. Aberman read my response to the allegations he made to my employer, he is now aware that I will not be bullied. I will continue to contact any state or local authority, request information, or file complaints as I am doing so today. As I said in my response, if Mr. Aberman is uncomfortable with the truth being told, he need only bring his property into compliance with city zoning requirements. Jack Aberman's failure to adhere and comply with multiple code violations and renting properties without licenses is impacting the properties that surround them and endangering the people who live in them. It is this court and the city of Daytona Beach that is endowed with the responsibility of protecting their residents' property rights and enforcing code violations. I ask this court to end the unconscionable, illegal, and pervasive actions of this company. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chandler, is there anyone else to be heard on this matter before we hear from the respondent? Okay.
Yes, sir. Just one other thing. Just so that the record's clear, and it may be something Mr. Chandler may not be aware of, as you may recall, we've had numerous cases with Mr. Aberman for failing to obtain his rental license, where he has been fined and by agreement with Mr. Aberman and his prior attorney, we agreed not to treat his future violations as repeat violations only because of just cleaning it up and clearing things up based on a promise from Mr. Aberman that he had taken on a new leaf or a new perspective and that he would obtain the licenses as required. We have not had any indication that those licenses, if any future rental licenses have been obtained. And so the position of the city remains. We're not going to treat this as a repeat violation. However, we are requesting that he come into compliance. And in this circumstance, because of the history and the egregiousness of what's going on, the continued defiance of the code, we're asking that that compliance be by the next cutoff. I mean, by the March date, even though we're not having a meeting, by the March cutoff date.
Well, before I hear from Mr. Chandler, we need to take care of this one tree at a time. Right now, the citation or the violation I have before me is failure to obtain required residential rental license.
That's correct, sir.
So what does that mean?
Well, remember, we have the
crew to hear this.
Yes, we have a requirement for both a business tax receipt and a residential rental license. An issue Mr. Aberman has brought up before said he has business tax receipts, and I believe he has one even on this property. However, he's never obtained rental licenses, and he's defiantly refused to obtain the rental licenses throughout the time that he's been requested and required to obtain those licenses. As you may recall, he did file a lawsuit that ultimately was dismissed or in favor of the city. And
okay, well, you know, the history, with all due respect, is only relevant to me to the extent that it shows Mr. Aberman knows how this process works. So consequently, there won't be any excuses based on ignorance. So now, having reviewed the history, what do we do with this violation? What is this violation? And how do we get it moving forward so we can get this house rectified for both Mr. Aberman as well as his neighbor? That's what I'm asking.
Okay, and let me just take a brief moment with the inspector.
Because I'm not going to kick this down the road. I'm not continuing anything. But we're going to find out exactly what the nature of the violation is and what needs to be done. And
certainly,
if we need to revisit this property to clarify anything, then we'll revisit it to clarify. But one way or another, this property is going to be before me, and it's going to be fixed.
Yes, sir.
Back now, just a moment.
Yes, sir.
I'll tender Mr. Click so he can explain the status. There appears to be that the roof violation is repaired or near repaired. The window is something that can be done with by the next cutoff.
I mean, I'm not trying to pigeonhole anybody in here right now. The notice of violation before me is failure to obtain a required residential rental license.
There was an amended notice that was issued to include the roof and the windows as well. So it may not be that supplemental.
That is the other reason we are requesting this amendment. All right,
never mind. Here we go. Amended notice of violation. Damaged roof, broken windows, failure to obtain required residential rental license. Period. Okay, so the first question is, do we agree the respondent was in noncompliance?
We still don't. We'd like to hear the city's arguments on that. Our first address is purely is if we look at the date of the notice. We need reasonable time to understand this. And
okay, don't bother me with the notice argument. The question here is, do we agree the respondent is in noncompliance? Yes or no?
So at this time, he's in the process of getting in compliance. He is working with his insurance company because it is a claim.
Okay, if he's in the process of getting into compliance, it sounds to me like an admission that he is in noncompliance at present since the work's not done.
Correct. It is in the process of
okay,
being in
compliance. Okay, hang on a second. All right, I'll find the respondent in noncompliance.
If I may, sir. We agree to, we find that, correct, regarding the rental license, and the windows, the roofing, though, no, that is in compliance.
Okay, you're telling me it's in compliance now. What are you telling me? It's been repaired?
Well, what happens is it already has a roof. There was no actual
issue, purely the perception of an issue. Based upon the perspective, all photos which have been taken from Ms. Van's yard, you can actually see any roof violations.
We keep getting way ahead of ourselves procedurally here.
Yes.
We're in agreement there wasn't a rental license at the time and there were broken windows?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then we're in noncompliance.
Yes.
Okay. Now, whether you're in for a penny or in for a pound, you're in noncompliance. Now, it's a matter of how long is it going to take to come into compliance. Now, step aside for 1 second.
Absolutely.
Mr. Clay?
Okay, I can explain it a little bit easier. First of all, the property needs to be inspected from a rental inspection perspective.
That's why I wanted to
exactly.
That.
So the whole interior needs to be inspected. Exterior needs to be inspected, and we need to set up a date that could be done by next cutoff. Windows is they're boarded up right now, so it's an egress issue. There's a tenant in there in case of a fire, so as soon as possible, the windows need to be a permit needs to be pulled, and the windows need to be repaired. When I posted the property 2 days ago and I was leaving, the tenant told me the roof was repaired. Again, yes, I took I didn't have permission to go in his backyard, but from the neighbor's house, the roof did need to be repaired. Tenant advised it is repaired, but it did not obtain a permit. So one of our building inspectors needs to inspect the roof. They need to inspect the windows. And I myself need to inspect the property for the rental license to be in compliance. So all three of those things, one from me and two from the building inspectors.
I just want the respondent to know that the requirement regarding the residential rental license means an inspection, and an inspection may very well mean a segue into other violations. I just want to make sure we're clear on that.
Yes.
All right. So as it stands right now with what's before me, they've indicated the roof's done. I'm not holding anybody to
right.
anything. As it stands before us right now, how much time would reasonably be required to come into compliance?
As long as no violations interior, I think the next cutoff in March would be fine, as long as we set up an inspection date so I can inspect the property.
And our next cutoff, unfortunately, is not until April 5, 2017?
Whatever's...
Okay, but we have this inspection that has to be done, which may lead to other things.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it sounds to me like, why don't we take advantage of this time and maybe make sure this inspection happens within the next 30 days so that everything is in compliance by April 5th. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, sir.
And that the property not be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized until it's in compliance?
It is rented right now with a tenant in there.
There's a tenant
yes,
in
sir.
There now.
Uh-huh. And the only concern I have is the windows, with, like I said, with an egress issue, with they're boarded up. And if a fire breaks out?
Well, access to get the repairs done is going to be the landlord's problem, not ours. Okay, now, Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I'm hearing from the city that, as luck would have it, your next compliance date is not going to be until April 5, 2017. You've indicated to me you think the roof's already done. I'm not disputing that. I'm just telling you, great. Sounds like you have even less to do than appears on this page. So broken windows, obtaining the rental license, should handily be done or accomplished by April 5th.
We also have other issues, but please continue.
But we still have to have this inspection done, and I want the inspection done early enough for the landlord, if need be, to come into compliance with anything found during that inspection. So I am inclined to give your client 30 days from today's date to make certain that inspection takes place, because that would still then allow him about 3 weeks after that to come into compliance with any additional violations found during that inspection.
Thank
that
you.
Sound reasonable enough?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay. I've already found the respondent in noncompliance. I'm going to order the respondent be in compliance by April 5, 2017. I'm further ordering that within 30 days, the residential rental license inspection shall take place, so that in the event there are any additional violations to be attended to by the landlord, you'll have apparently 2 to 3 weeks at least to get those taken care of before the compliance date. Failing to do either of those items, the landlord gets returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good. We covered everything?
Because there is insurance issues that we're dealing with currently, we would request till the May purely because it's being held against. That's it. It's just the insurance is being tied up.
No, but if you're unable to get this done by April 5, 2017, ask that you be put on the April 11, 2017 agenda to let me know exactly what your circumstances are.
Absolutely.
And if they're worthy of additional time, I'll take that into consideration.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No, sir.
That's all. Thank you very much.
Good luck to everybody.
Yeah, we'll get you. Will we be able to get a copy of the record?
It's being digitally recorded.
Great. Right, hang on 1 second. I'm not sure I haven't forgotten anything here.
Sir.
Said good luck to everybody.
Thank you.
Good luck, ma'am.
I need their contact information.
Case number 11, Floyd Boyden.
Yes, and I don't hear very good.
I don't either.
Did we have any the hearing equipment there? I don't know if it's working. It didn't work the last time. We'll talk loud.
I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. I can give you
Mr. Bovin, can you, state your name for the record, please? Can you state your name?
Floyd Bovin.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
What do you need, Mr. Chandler?
I need my contact information.
Oh, is it not the same as?
It's the same.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Boyman, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, do you agree these violations existed or occurred?
Yes, I did, and I don't. I understand that the violations have been fixed now.
All right, hey, bear with me 1 minute. All right, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should be required to come into compliance?
Ms. McAlja, the inspector is Jerry Sanders, and Mr. Sanders indicates that the respondent is making progress and he can be in compliance by next cutoff. I would tend to Mr. Sanders for any more specific factual information if you need that.
Okay, we're talking April 5th again?
Yes, I said next cutoff, but I mean the April 5th
yes,
compliance date.
All right, Mr. Boyman, they recognize that you've put some effort in to date to try to fix these things. So with that, we're going to give you till April 5th to take care of it all. Is that going to be enough time to get it all done?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Then I'm going to order the respondent, if I would have found enough.
Yes.
I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by April 5th or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And if you'll get with this gentleman over here, when everything's done, he'll do your final inspection, and then hopefully that'll be the end of it, all right?
Okay.
Make sure you contact him, though, before April 5th for that final inspection.
All right.
All right, good luck to you.
I don't hear good now.
Okay, just give me a call.
Is it your name that I call?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
Case number 12 is in compliance. Case number 13, Carol J. Wright. Is right?
Yes.
You would please state your name and be sworn.
It's Carol Wright Blackman.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
No, and I wasn't. My tenant has never verbally or written anything wrong with the unit. And I didn't even know anything about it until I went to her, to the unit last Thursday to have her pay her rent. She's $2,600 plus behind in her rent. And she said to me, oh, some man dropped this by today. She says, oh, I've been getting these little orange things in the mail, but I just send them back because you don't live here. So this is the first I have heard of anything. She is in the process of being evicted. I believe this is, she did this so that she could take more time to stay there before she got evicted. And there has never, she has never, never told me of anything. She barely lets me in. And when I go, I've never seen anything wrong in the unit.
Are you in the unit yet?
The last time I went in the unit was on January 12th. I went in to talk to her to see when she's going to pay her rent because she always has one excuse. Like I said, she's $2,600 behind. I have worked with her. This is going on her fourth year. She's a single mom. My mother was a single mom. I tried to work with her. I have a list of, you know, every month she'll pay $200 or $350 or $500 or, you know, it's, and she just keeps stringing me along. I've worked with her going on 4 years, and I finally said, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, my husband works at Walmart. I don't have a huge amount of excess to pay somebody else's rent and water bill. And, you know, I've given her furniture. I try to get her a job. I've done everything I can. And I just said, you've got to pay. This is it. And I said, I am putting it up for sale. I have the realtor and her phone number if you want to confirm that. I'm, you know, I've done this for 25 years, and, you know, if I had all the money people owed me, I could take everybody in here on a cruise. But I did not get a rental license. I didn't know I was supposed to have one, and I'm putting it up for sale. I've had enough.
So do you know the condition of the interior?
No.
As you sit here right now?
As far as, no.
Then you don't know whether you're in compliance or not, is what you're telling me.
I haven't. The first time I ever even heard about it was last Wednesday when she handed me this, which had, you know, the thing from the post office, and then the notice of the hearing today. And she said, some man came by and dropped this off for you.
So she's been accumulating these until she gave them to you?
Yeah, I'm probably lucky that she gave me this. Because she has not. No, she said, I sent them back because you don't live here. I said, you know where I live. You know my phone number. You know my address. So, I mean, I'm grateful that she did turn this last one over to me.
Okay, has this woman been evicted yet?
I'm in the process of evicting her.
And when do you expect to be back in to have possession of the premises?
Well, I just started the 3-day notice this week. So as soon as I can, I mean, I have to follow through the system unless she just leaves.
Okay. But as it stands right now, you do agree you don't have the business tax receipt?
No, I do not. I guess I'm just ignorant. I didn't know anything about that.
Okay. Counselor, do we have a notice issue here?
No, sir. We mailed the notice as required by our statute to the...
Is it a tenant-driven complaint out of curiosity?
Yes, I believe it is. Yes, it is.
Sandbagging the notices?
It appears, based on the testimony of the owner...
Are we supposed to be worried about this tenant?
Well, we're supposed to be worried about just complying with the city codes in accordance with the
When did you get
statute.
Notice that this was even taking place?
Last Thursday, when I went to collect the rent, which she didn't have, and she said, some man dropped this by to...
You've been on notice of this since last Thursday.
Yes.
Taking you at your word, so...
But, Ms. Vakalda...
Telling me that notice is sufficient.
Ms. Vakalda, she was on notice that she was renting her residence, and she did not have a business tax receipt. She did not have a rental license.
She's not in non-compliance. I'm just questioning the notice. I know she's expected to know the law, and she's already told me she didn't have a business tax receipt. So, ergo, she is in non-compliance. My only question right now is, assuming the lady's not lying to me about the tenant sandbagging her on the notices, I just want to know, before we proceed any further, are we satisfied that the notice is sufficient?
The notices?
We are, that's the
yes, I'm satisfied. The notices did come back, but the failure to actually receive the notice, in my opinion, would not be enough under the circumstance to invalidate the city's efforts in its consistent following of statutory requirements for notification.
All right. Doesn't sound particularly fair, but it sounds as though, like it or not, you're on notice, mainly because you're primarily responsible for your tenant. And if your tenant basically is sandbagging you on the notice, that's a problem between you and her, as opposed to you and the city. And given the fact that you don't have a business tax receipt, then it sounds as though you are in non-compliance. So I finally responded to non-compliance. Now, the more important issue is, how much time is it going to take to come into compliance? And what you're telling me is you're not even in there yet, so you can't tell me. You can't answer that question for me.
Correct.
So that means we're definitely going to put this far enough out to where we're going to allow you time to get in there and assess the situation and determine what needs to be done, if anything. So given those circumstances, given the fact that she's got a tenant that she's got to remove, does the city have an idea as to how much time should be required to reasonably come into compliance given these circumstances?
Ms. Vakalda, the city believes that the April cutoff would be sufficient.
Okay. And what say you to that?
Well, I've been told...
You don't know because you're buying a pig and a poke.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she's just going to up and leave because she doesn't want to...
And you don't know if anything she might trash on the way out the door.
Correct.
Okay, I'm going to order the respondent to be in compliance by April 5, 2017. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. That is going to presuppose that you're going to follow through on your eviction proceedings, You're going to get a writ of possession. You're going to get access to the premises. You're going to be able to see if this is all that needs to be done. And then you're going to be able to determine whether or not the severity is such that you can get it done by April 5th.
Okay.
Or, heaven forbid, you get in there and you find out there may even be more to be done. Now, the reason I'm explaining all this to you is, given your circumstances, similar a little bit to what you might have heard from the predecessor, if April 5th isn't going to work for you, because as far as I'm concerned, we're just speculating about what the actual condition of this place is. Well, I guess we're not. Our inspector was in there.
Yes.
So our inspector is up here.
Yeah, I haven't even seen the picture, so.
So how much time? Well, let me just ask our inspector one question. So assuming the lady's in there and she's ready to go, how much time would it take to make
it? She's ready to go. 30 days should be sufficient.
Okay.
That's to get a repairman, get the permits, and fix everything, all the damage that was done to the apartment.
Okay. All right. So it sounds as though April 5th might be doable, but what I'm telling you is that once you do get in there, and assuming you've put forth a good faith effort to get everything brought into compliance, and you're still not able to do so, then we'll either address that if and when the city decides to try to fine you, given your ultimate compliance date, or if you want to be heard on April 11th, ask to be put on the agenda if you need more time.
Okay. Now, if I put it up for sale as is,
whether you sell it or don't sell, it's your call. That's none of my business.
Okay.
I don't leave properties stagnant because they're for sale. They might be for sale indefinitely.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. So April 5th, I have to come back.
April 5th, you need to be in compliance.
Okay.
If due to circumstances beyond your control, you can't be in compliance by April 5th, then you're going to be subjected to being fined. If you stay in touch with your inspector along the way and you satisfy him that you've done everything you can, our inspectors are usually pretty reasonable when it comes to telling me to allow additional time.
Okay.
So whatever you do, staying in touch with your inspector is key.
Well, he's been very helpful and very nice.
He will be. Now, when people ignore the inspectors and we don't hear from them at all, that's when bad things happen.
Okay.
But the meeting date would be April 11th.
Okay. But I have it until April 5th, and I'll be in contact with you.
Very good.
All right.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case number 14, Hudja and Kaival, LLC. Morning.
Morning. Can you
state your name, please? Yes, Praveen Patel.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Do we agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
We already complied, sir.
Pardon?
We already complied, sir. No violation right now, sir.
Okay.
I called inspector on 8th February. Clifford came to my office.
All right, then let's hear from the city what this is about.
Mr. Kelch, if I can start by saying I thought I overheard Mr. Patel say that the company name is changed. Is that earlier?
That's
it. That's how it is. I'm sorry. If you could just, so we can make sure.
Yeah. On November, sir, we changed the corporation name. Turja and Keval LLC. I have the city license copy.
Okay. If you could just.
Can I keep this copy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
So who is our new respondent?
Are you still the managing member of this corporation?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It's Thakur Jigrupa?
Thakur Jigrupa.
Thakur
Jigrupa.
Thakur Jigrupa. Krupa. Let me spell that. T-H-A-K.
Religious. Yeah, religious name. The God name.
J-I-K-R-U-P-A LLC. DBA Heritage Inn.
Okay. Now.
Yes. Yes, sir. This is before you for imposition of a fine because it's a repeat violation. There was an order of noncompliance for accumulation of rubbish or garbage back in January 17th of 2013. As I'm sure you may recall, we've had over a number of years various circumstances regarding the property known as Heritage Inn. While this was not severe, the necessity to ensure that we don't move into a situation where it builds into a major problem, the inspector went out, immediately gave them notice. They did come into compliance at some point, and the inspector's Cliff Reconzone, he can follow up with that. But the city is just asking for a fine of $25 for the occurrence, and if it should arise again, then we would be seeking greater sanctions.
Was all that what road was all that trash next to? Was that US 1?
Yeah, US 1. These were
yes, sir.
South East.
So who's the bonehead that threw all that garbage out there on US 1 like that?
Sir, I went to India 2 months, but when we pull out the mattress, before that we called the Waste Pro to extra pickup. Every month I am paying $5,000 to city, garbage, everything, sir. But
well,
sometimes...
What I want to know is
sometimes the outside...
Who's dumb enough to throw that out on the street like that?
Sometimes, sir, outside also put their mattress. So we have no control, sir.
Well, night
time
they
throw...
Those mattresses were yours, weren't they?
Sometimes, sir, outside also. But when I do pull out the mattress, we put in proper manner. We call the Waste Pro, sir. And they pick up.
Put in proper manner. What does that mean? Is that proper manner right there?
Means Waste Pro show the place where to put in the sideway, not near the dumpster, sir. But sometimes
call Waste Pro, how quickly do they get out there?
They come next day. So every Thursday they are picking up, sir. So last time I called on 7th, they pick up on 8th February, sir. And
we dump those mattresses out there on US 1 on the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me Waste Pro told you to do that?
Yeah, Waste Pro. We have the Waste Pro the contract. And two people, garbage guy.
What US 1 looks like crap?
Sir, I'm very vigilant, sir. I take personal interest. When I pull out, I call them and they pick up next year, sir. So sometimes we pull out in the morning, early morning, before they pick up, sir.
Okay, the respondent is telling me he did nothing more than what he was being told to do, but who's Waste Pro, our local sanitation service?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I heard.
He's telling me he was doing nothing more than following instructions from our own local sanitation service. Quite frankly, I was getting ready to fine him about $100 for that being out there, until now it's being suggested to me that he's just following instructions.
Morning, sir. Hector Garcia, Neighborhood Services Manager. My qualifications are on file. I think Mr. Patel is getting confused. He has to put the mattresses on the side of the dumpster enclosure. As you can see in the pictures reflect, they're not. It's been on several occasions. We just happen to have pictures from November and then January, but this is a repetitive thing. Mattresses are being thrown out now. He has a dumpster enclosure. He can put them inside the dumpster enclosure sideways, and they can be picked up that manner. It doesn't have to be in the manner that the pictures are depicting. They're not going to tell him to throw it out on the side of the street.
He's only asked for a fine of $25, so therefore I'm going to fine you $25.
Sir, I request you to reprimand this time, sir. We will take care, sir.
Pardon?
Because I always appreciate the Hector, Jackson, Clifford. They make the city beautiful, and we work with them, sir. Always, sir. Please.
All right. Well, I'm going to fine you $25, and okay, I don't care if the Pope tells you to do that. If I see that again, it'll be $500.
Please, sir.
Okay? So, talk to Waste Pro. You can tell them the special magistrate wasn't at all thrilled with the idea of those mattresses basically being thrown out on side next to sidewalks and what have you.
Okay.
So between you and Waste Pro, figure out how to dispose of these things so that we don't have an eyesore like that crop up again. But as it stands right now, $25 fine, and quite frankly, I think the city was being ridiculously gracious at that. I mean, no hard feelings toward you. That photograph offends me.
Sorry, sir.
Well, you're telling me you were following instructions.
Yes, sir.
So bring the President of Waste Pro down here. I'll tell him myself.
Thank you, sir.
All right, good luck to you. Case number 15, Revocable Trust of Beverly Sanders, dated 9/27/05. Anyone here for the respondent? Yes, ma'am. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Melanie Johnson, I'm an attorney representing the Revocable Trust.
Is it Melanie?
Melanie, M-E-A-L.
Okay. All right. Ms. Johnson, do we agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. Then I find the respondent in noncompliance. If you'll give us just a second, we'll ask the city how much time they think it should take to be able to come into compliance.
Mr. Vecalcher, the inspector is Cliff Reckonzone, and Mr. Reckonzone indicates that it can be in compliance by next cutoff, so we're requesting next cutoff. Well, I said next cutoff, but we're requesting the April cutoff for compliance.
Okay. Setting aside for the moment the fact that the next cutoff will be April 5th, how much time would you otherwise think it would take to bring this? I mean, I have no context as far as the extent of the violation, so how much time do you think would reasonably be required, notwithstanding the almost 60 days that...
We're talking about the screens on the windows that are missing, and there was the one bathtub. The fixtures had to be replaced on the bathtub.
Okay, I just want the respondent to leave here with pretty clear ideas of what we're expecting.
Oh, and the heat. We have to have some type of permanent heat for the upstairs apartment.
Okay. All right, and how much time do you expect that would take to come to compliance?
30 days.
30 days would normally be sufficient.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Ms. Johnson, the inspector seems to indicate that 30 days would be enough time to take care of these violations. As luck would have it, we're not going to do scheduling issues. Our next cutoff won't be until April 5th, so that's closer to 2 months. Is that enough time to get it done?
I believe so. She had some tenant issues as well, and she retained us to evict them, and they just moved out this past Saturday, and she did take possession of the property. And notice there are some, they did, I think, some revenge-type damage to the apartment before they left. They punched some holes in the wall and drew graffiti on the walls. And with respect to the bathroom fixtures, I was told that they had a small child that was able to turn on the bathtub by himself, so that the actual tenant is the one who removed those fixtures because their child was turning on the bathtub by himself. So, I mean, like I said, she did find new damage inside the apartment when she did get possession of it. So, but, and I guess she had some questions with respect to the heat because she got an estimate, like a new central heat and air conditioner unit for the whole apartment would cost her like $4,000, and she says she's unable to do a central heat and air. So I guess she had some questions on what was actually required with respect to the heating unit.
She's going
to
rent this property.
That's another issue. She doesn't plan on renting it out again. She has her daughter, who is also the co-trustee of this trust that owns the whole building, plans on moving in herself, so it won't be rented out again to another tenant. It'll be just kept within the family.
Well, time-wise, it's not all right. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by April 5, 2017. It'll be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, just as you've probably heard me tell any number of other people, you know, get in there. First off, all I care about are these violations. So to the extent your client wants to remodel, refurbish, that's her prerogative, but these violations are first and foremost to us. So I would be focusing my attention there first. If you run into problems along the way, whatever they may be, if you'll stay in touch with your inspector, he'll be your best friend. And if it turns out you're not able to do it, and he's satisfied that you've made a good faith effort, then he'll probably be the first one to suggest that we give additional time. So keep your inspector happy, and everyone else will be happy too.
Sounds good.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Boy, I like that one. We should write that one down and use that more often.
Yeah.
Keep our inspector happy, and everyone else will be happy, too. all that nastiness out there. Let me write that up there. B16, Timothy L. Greening. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Kelter, the inspector's Cliff Reckonzone, this is before you for compliance or non-compliance. Mr. Reckonzone reports that the property is now in compliance, but he would like a finding of non-compliance and now in compliance. Basically, our Wolfine finding.
Okay. Do I need to make mention of the Wolfine, or does that just come with the territory?
Just comes with the territory, sir.
All right. Okay, noting the absence of the respondent based upon the city's presentation, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. We further find that the respondent is now in compliance. I guess that's all I need to do on that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
Yes, sir. I believe number one is in the audience. Oh, not number one. What number is it? It is number one? Yes, number one. He arrived after it was heard, and but he's present, so we can announce it.
Good morning, Magistrate.
Good morning. Will we state your name and be sworn?
My name is Joseph Janczewski.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, it seems to me that we had decided to give you until, was it May 3, 2017, to come into compliance. Originally, you were scheduled here to give us a progress report and for us to establish a compliance date.
First, you requested the plans for me to bring you the plans
the
following meeting, and the meeting was canceled by the city, I guess, and it was scheduled for the following month, and I couldn't make it. I called the inspector. And I left the plans downstairs with the building department to give it to them.
Tell me your plans are here already.
To submit them to you, you know. And the reason I was late today is I'm coming straight from New York, you know. And I hit traffic on Jacksonville.
No problem. Area, so. All right. We already have your plans. They explained all that. So, I mean, that's all well and good.
So, but what I want to tell you that... I'm working with only my pension money, you know, so I need time until the permits expire, until then at least, you know.
You need time until what now?
Until the permits expire. The permit's only for 6 months.
You lost me. You need time until the permits expire.
Right. To be in compliance with everything.
Yeah, Mr. Kelter.
You're telling me you're going to need 6 months to come into compliance.
Yes.
Okay. They say you should be able to do it in 2 months.
No way. I don't know if he's been inside or anything. You know, that's why I requested for him to come so I could show him inside. There's a lot of work to be done.
Okay. All right. Then I'll tell you what. Let's do this.
Mr. Kelter, if I can clarify, it's 3 months. We asked for it in May. I think that's what you granted him until the May cutoff.
So I've already given him 90 days.
Yes, sir.
And permits have not been picked up yet. Okay. I've given you 90 days until May 3, 2017. I'm going to leave that where it's at.
Okay.
But if you're making a good faith effort and you've satisfied our inspector that you're trying, then we'll revisit that at 90 days. How does that sound?
That's good.
Okay, so okay. I'll at least keep your...
Yeah, I'll keep in contact with you.
I don't want to crush your spirit here. So
I bought the house to retire here, you know.
Well, then we're gonna get you in there sooner than you thought. So my point is, we'll leave the date as is.
Mm-hmm.
When you come up on that May date, you know, if you need additional time, either ask to be put on the May calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, I hope you're in touch with our inspector.
Oh, definitely.
Because the way it'll usually work is when this comes up because someone's not in compliance. Is when the inspector might say, well, this guy's done nothing, at which point we do bad things to him. Or he'll say, this guy's been trying hard, so we don't mind another 2 or 3 months, whatever it may be.
Oh, believe me, I want to move down here. You know, that's
right.
Where I bought the
house. I'll leave the date in place. Right now you're supposed to be in compliance by May 3. Write that on your refrigerator so you don't forget that date.
Okay.
Stay in communication with your inspector. And if you need additional time, then you'll want to be heard at our meeting on May 9 of 2017.
Okay.
Sound all right?
Sure.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay, any other miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
I don't think you met. What, did you get a chance to meet Jerry? Was he? Were
no.
you here?
Oh, no. Mr. Sanders?
Yeah, Mr. Sanders. I know we've kind of had a couple of jump and bump schedules. So.
Amy, you should put that quote down there. Our inspectors are happy, everybody's happy.
Nice to meet you.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir.
And good luck to you.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Nothing else?
Very good. All right, then.